As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Well, if you're just joining us for the first time this week, we're in Romans chapter 9. That was verses 13 and 14. And we're looking at this passage because it is often misunderstood and even often mistaught. People teach this in a way that, like in that verse there, that God loved Jacob. He hated Esau. He made Esau a bad guy, and he sent him to hell, and there was nothing Esau could have done about it. And he loved Jacob, and he gave him all the opportunities, and he sent him to heaven, and there wasn't really anything Jacob could do about that either. It was just because of what God did. And then this verse says, is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. That's how it's often taught. But as we're looking at it this week, and we're seeing that this is talking about nations. Esau and was the father, you might say, of the Edomites, the nation of Edom. Jacob, of course, was one of the ancestors, one of the lineage of the Israelites, and it was through Jacob that that Christ, the Messiah, came. And this is what we're looking at here. This is what this passage is talking about. We looked at Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 11, and the context, or to set a groundwork for Romans 9 here, and we saw how both of those chapters are clearly talking about the nations and the Gentiles. The question that it seems to be addressing here, as I've said before, is that the Jews are, this is during the time when the Apostle Paul is preaching. He goes into the synagogue. The Jews reject him for the most part. Some believe, most reject. But then he takes the message to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles believe, and the churches are forming, and it's mainly Gentiles. And the Jews are saying, well, what about us? You know, what about, this is the maybe the believing Jews, they're saying, what about us? We're the chosen people of God. And so Paul is showing here who the chosen people of God really are. And he was saying just because they were Abraham's seed doesn't mean they were all chosen. It was through Isaac. And just because they were Isaac's seed, they weren't all chosen. It was through Jacob. And just because it was all the different sons of Jacob, but it was through the lineage there on down, and you can look at the lineages or whatever in Matthew and Luke and stuff of the Messiah. So that seems to be what the question is here. And it wasn't that Jacob, or that God made Jacob into a good guy and made Esau into a bad guy. Jacob had faith in God. Esau did not have faith. And that's the question there, or that's the result. Esau was not a man that was walking by faith. He was walking by his flesh. He always wanted something to please the flesh, his wives, his food, whatever it may be. And we have a lot of people like Esau today in this world. And it's not unrighteous for God to choose one nation over another for the lineage of Christ to come. It would be unrighteous for God to choose one person to go to hell and choose another person to go to heaven. Not that he wouldn't be right to do that if that was the way God reveals himself in the Bible, but that's not the way God reveals himself in the Bible. He says he's no respecter of persons. He said he's not willing that any would perish, and that he loves the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. But so God doesn't reveal himself to be like that. So that's not who he is. He's not a God that damns some and is pleased to do that, and saves others and is pleased to do that. It's very clear in the scriptures in choosing Israel over Edom. It wasn't choosing for salvation. God didn't save all the Israelites. In fact, only just a few Israelites were saved compared to the many. They weren't chosen for salvation. those Israelites and Edomites who believed and lived by their faith in God were saved. The Edomites, it's a very good possibility that Job was an Edomite. And so it's those Edomites that and Israelites who believed and lived by their faith in God were saved. Those Israelites and Edomites who lived in unbelief were lost and went to hell. It wasn't a choosing. It wasn't an election for salvation. It was choosing of a nation that the Messiah would come through. Verse 15 says, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." And if you look at that, where that was said in the Old Testament, that was back in Exodus, and I believe that was chapter 33, verse 19. You can look at that later. Chapter 32, verse 10 is talking about when God was going to wipe out the Israelites and start a new nation from Moses. And Moses pleaded with God. It was when they came down from the mountain, him and Joshua came down from the mountain, and they had a golden calf, and Aaron had made a golden calf, and the Israelites were all worshiping this idol. And God was going to make a new nation out of Moses. Here again, it's talking about nations. It's not talking about some individual, Moses. This is the context here of that. Verse 17, "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." Did God raise Pharaoh up to be a wicked man, to that he was going to be this wicked king, and God made him into a wicked king? No, I believe Pharaoh was a wicked person. God raised him up as a king. He didn't believe in God. He was a very cruel person. He was making the Israelites, or he turned them into slaves, and he wasn't treating them right, and he was making them have taskmasters over them, and they were beating them, and you know the story of the children of Israel during that time, I trust. And so he wasn't raising him up to be a wicked man. He raised him up as a king that he might show his power, and that his name might be declared, God's name might be declared throughout all the earth. This is talking about, again, a nation of Egypt. God allowed them to go in their wicked ways, and all the children of Israel were in the land of Goshen because of Joseph saving them from the famine. And this is talking about during that time. Verse 18 says, "Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth." And when Pharaoh, it does say there that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but he didn't harden his heart when he was a little boy or growing up. He hardened his heart after Pharaoh had already hardened his heart against God and against the children of Israel. Moses said, "Let my people go," that God wanted the people to be delivered, Pharaoh hardened his heart and wouldn't let them go. And so then there was the plague of the flies and the plague of the frogs and the plague of the locusts and the darkness and all those 10 plagues. And then finally the plague of the lastborn, where all the firstborn were killed by the death angel. And so, yes, God did harden Pharaoh's heart, but that was after his heart was already hardened against God. And it was to show this great deliverance from the bondage of slavery that God used Moses to deliver the children of Israel. Verse 19, "Thou wilt say then unto me, why dost thou yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy whom he hath afore prepared unto glory. And I believe this is still talking about this time of the deliverance of the children of Israel. God was willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. He was very long suffering with the vessels of wrath, with Pharaoh and with Egypt and all the cruelty that they were bringing upon the children of Israel. God was willing to let that thing go for a while, and it became a very wicked place, even like it is in America today. God is could have judged America a long time ago, but he has a plan. I'm not sure exactly what he's going to do, but this nation keeps getting wickeder and wickeder, and God has long suffering there. But he did throw down the nation of Egypt, and I believe unless America repents and turns to God, it also will be destroyed, and that is a surety. So this is all talking about this time of Pharaoh, and God he does make one lump unto honor. Those that are believers are and trust God. Those are the vessels unto honor. Those that are disbelievers, the unbelievers, those are the vessels of dishonor that it talks about there. And so we made it down here to verse 24, and we're going to be going on from there tomorrow. But I hope this is an encouragement to you to help you see that God is a loving God. He's not a God that makes people into wicked people so that he can turn around and punish them, and they don't have anything that they can do. They, you know, he made them a wicked person, and now he's going to punish them for their wickedness when he's the one that made it. That's the way this passage is often taught, but that's not the God who we serve. God is not willing that any would perish. God loves the whole world and gave himself for it. So maybe you have some questions. Maybe you have some questions about this passage or anything else. You're welcome to give me a call. My number is 717-333-1786. Or you can leave us a voicemail by pressing a 99 after it goes to the next menu there on the phone after we hang up. So God bless you. Thanks for calling in. And Lord willing, we'll continue this study of Romans chapter 9 tomorrow.